Yeah, we do have some out there if you want one. I don't know why I'm so hot. Everybody else hot today, this morning? Yeah, Brother Thomas. Praise God, I'm not the only one today. Whew. That's all right. John. Let's turn to John chapter 14. Happy to be in the house of God this morning? Amen. All right, there we go. That was good. John chapter 14, starting at verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also.
Amen.
And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. So Paul, or not, sorry, this is Jesus speaking. Jesus is telling his disciples, you know where I'm going, and you know the way to get there. Mm-hmm. Now watch what Philip or Thomas says. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. Isn't that just the way we do it? The Lord tells us, you know which way to go. You know where I'm going. And we go, no, I don't, Lord. You been there yet? I know I have. We know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? If we don't know where you're going, how are we going to know which way to turn? If I don't know where Napoleon, Ohio is, how am I going to get there? Doesn't matter where it is. If I don't know the way, I ain't going to get there either. Verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. You see how that cleared it up for Thomas there? He ain't saying go to some place. He's saying I, the person, am the way. And did Thomas know Jesus?
Yeah.
Of course he did. See how Jesus was thinking up here in the spiritual realm. Thomas was still down here in the natural, and that's why he didn't understand him. How many times do you think that happens to us when we read the Bible? Sure. We're sitting here down in the natural realm going, oh, I'm supposed to have joy unspeakable and full of glory, but I don't feel very good today. How do I have joy unspeakable? Oh, you're living down here in this realm. Let's let us go up in here in the heavenly places.
Glory.
Jesus saying to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Another thing, Jesus is saying, they want to know where the Father is. And he says, you've seen him and you've been with him. Look what Philip says now. Another disciple showed it. It ain't just one brother that ain't figured it out. None of them had it figured out yet. Verse 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. It'll satisfy us. Show us his Father. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet that hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. I want to preach today. And he shall be called the way. He shall be called the way. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you for the songs that we got to sing. Lord, it feels good to sing the right kind of songs, the right kind of worship. Lord, that's why we were made. It was to worship you.
Yes, Lord,
and we're here to do that. I believe we wouldn't come to the house of God if we weren't here for just to worship you and to praise you and to spend time hearing your word preached. Father, we thank you for it. We just pray you open our hearts, Lord, our minds, to receive the right words, the right thoughts, that if Satan would come to distract us or hinder us, Lord, we dismiss those things and focus right on the word today. Do with us as you please. Mold us, make us, Lord, what we ought to be, how we're supposed to be conformed into your image. Make us more like Christ all the time, Lord. We just commit this service in your hands. If there be any needs in the people, Lord, I pray you'd meet everyone this morning. We love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for another opportunity to serve you and to worship you. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. And he shall be called the way. I even like that dad sang that song, Let's Talk About Jesus, and one of the verses says, the great I am, the way. The way, I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. Let's just slow down. When you think of the way to get somewhere, you're thinking of a road or a path. I want the way to get from where I am to where I ought to be. And that's the Christian's desire the whole time. I'm stuck here in a body of flesh. I'm stuck in a body of sin. I'm stuck in a world of sin. But I don't desire to be here. A Christian doesn't desire to live in this realm right now. We're looking for heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. A Christian's looking for the world to come. We have to live down here. We've got a work to do while we're down here. But we're looking for a world to come. And that's what Jesus was saying here. He said, you believed in me, believe also in God. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And that word house would mean like if you said King Philip's house. Well, that would have been his whole domain. Everywhere he lives, his castle, his children, his vineyards, his fields. That was his house. So Christ is saying, in my house, my Father's house, are many mansions. Which means we've all got a nice, good place to live. Don't you just desire that as we are groaning this Wednesday night, groaning for the manifestation, groaning to be in heavenly places all times. But we want to know the way. How do I get from here to there then? Where's the way? Let's go back to Genesis today. Genesis chapter 3. You say, was there ever a time a man knew the way to be in fellowship with God? Yes, there was. It was back in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, every night it says, that God would come down in the cool of the evening and spend time with his children. They had the way there. They knew how to spend time with God. But look what happened the second they had fallen into sin. Genesis 3:22, and the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden till the ground from whence he was taken. Verse 24. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, and a flaming sword which turneth every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So the man and the woman back in the Garden of Eden had lived in a realm where the tree of life was accessible. It was somewhere that they could partake of. But there was another tree in the garden, which was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that was what directly God commanded, do not partake of this tree. And we thank God to know that it wasn't just some different kind of apple tree that was standing there. And the tree of life was over here that had, I don't know, heart fruit or something. And if I ate that, I live forever. If I eat this, I die. It wasn't that way. Because the tree of life, the tree of life isn't a thing. It's a person.
Yes.
Because there's only one way to eternal life. If there was more than one way, what in the world would Jesus, why would God become flesh, come die on a cross of a cruel, malicious death to make the way that we could have eternal life if there was some forbidden tree or hidden tree somewhere we could just go find and eat off of it?
Right.
What's the point? Does that make sense? There would be two ways to eternal life. And why would you take this cruel, malicious, evil way when you could have took this nice, easy one where you just walk over there and take a bite out of it? That's not the truth of the picture. It wasn't some physical tree standing there. It was Christ.
Amen.
Christ was in the Garden of Eden.
That's right.
He was there. He was God.
Amen.
In the form that you could see him as a man. He is the image of the invisible God. The Spirit of God you can't see, you can't handle, you can't taste, you can't see him. But God made flesh you can see and talk to. And that's what Christ was. He was in the Garden of Eden. And he was the tree of life.
Amen.
You say, how can you prove that? Jesus said, if you eat of my flesh and drink my blood, if you don't eat my flesh, don't drink my blood, you have no life in you. If you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have eternal life. And I'll raise you up at the last day. Doesn't that prove he's the tree of life? If you eat the tree of life, you live forever. Jesus said, if you eat of me, you live forever. That means he is the tree of life.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
So there was a time where the sons of God had the accessibility to eat from this way. But then there came a day when sin entered. And that's the only thing that will ever separate a man from God is sin. And when sin came, God said, I can't let him eat from the tree of life anymore. Because if he were to let him eat from the tree of life, sin would have carried on into heaven. Sin would have been eternal. Because he was a sinner now. And if he could partake of the tree of life and live forever, that makes sin eternal. And God would not allow it.
Amen.
So God, not willing that sin would live on, but that sin would be destroyed just as he foresaw, he puts cherubims, which are some of the guardian angels that he has. And he has a flaming sword, which turned every way, which means there ain't no getting around this.
Right.
To keep the way of the tree of life. Because if you know the way, you can get there. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. I know some people think preachers got telekinesis, and we can tell what you're thinking. No, I can't tell you. I don't know. I don't know all things. But I know he does. So when Jesus is talking about this, we go in the Garden of Eden, we see that man was taken away from the tree of life because he was sinful. But then when Christ comes, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So they wanted to get back. They wanted to get to this heaven place. They wanted to go where Jesus was going to go because they knew he would die. And they didn't know it yet, but Jesus knew he was going to raise again and go up into heaven on the right hand of the Father. And he said, where I'm going, you know it. Uh-huh. And the way to get there, you know it. Why? Because they were both, he was standing right there. Uh-huh. He was talking to them. It was Christ the whole time. He shall be called the way. Amen. The way to get to heaven is not, I gotta turn up there and go 5 miles east, and then we'll find the Garden of Eden. Isn't that what people are trying to do? They're going out in the Middle East somewhere and looking around. The Garden of Eden's gotta be out here somewhere. No, it's a different dimension. It's a person that lives outside of this realm of sin, lives in a place of perfect peace, perfect love, perfect joy. Amen. It's Christ. Yeah. He is the way.
Sure.
And this way was made accessible because of what he did for us. When he went to the cross and died, he was paying so that the way back to the tree of life could be opened again. At one time, God sent him an angel there with a flaming sword saying, "Stay out, you sinner." Then God came, paid the price, and he handed it right there to the angel and said, here's the price to get back to the way. And the angel was able to step down, and then he turned over here, and he got behind the sons of God and said, "Get in the way, get in the way."
Amen.
Because don't we resist it so many times?
Right.
We know what the way is. When you get up in the morning, you say, "I know in my heart, in my head, I'm supposed to pray first before I do anything." Then we get out of the way and we feel that urge. We feel that angel trying to push us. Get down on your knees for a little while. And what do we do? Well, I'm a little tired yet. I'm going to go hit the snooze button 3 times and make sure I ain't got no time to pray.
Right.
Now I got to run around with my head cut off, or like a chicken with my head cut off to get ready for work.
Uh-huh.
Wonder why we ain't got no time. You're staying out. You're getting out of the way. Now let me say this. A person that's not converted yet, a person that hasn't received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the way is going this way and you're heading this way.
Right.
It don't matter what happens. You're going the wrong way. You say, "Turn a little left." You're still going the wrong way. Turn away right. You're going the wrong way. You need a conversion to take you and to put you on the right path. That takes the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It takes Christ coming in, because again, he is the way.
Amen.
Oh, what one of these days I'll pray right, and then I'll be a real servant of Christ. No, you won't. You won't, because that's making you the way now. That's making your prayer life the way. Oh, one of these days I'm going to study the Bible like I'm supposed to.
Right.
Then I'll be in good fellowship with God. No, you won't. You're not the way. Your works aren't the way. He is the way. And he has to go from being out here somewhere to right here. Inside of your heart. To where you and him become one. To where when you have thoughts, it's because it's Christ's thought in you. And you do the same thing he would have done.
Amen.
You are in the way.
Yes.
Physically, spiritually, mentally. You're in him. And if you're in him, you're in the way.
Amen.
Revelation 21:6 says, "And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely."
Amen.
Showing that that angel didn't have the sword out to kill the sons of God anymore. He had it down by his side.
Amen.
Because anybody that wanted it could drink of this water of life freely. Could eat of the tree of life freely. The problem is, men don't want it no more.
Right.
They don't want the way. And here's one of the main things I see, especially in our day, Laodicea, where you can do whatever you want, have whatever you want, live free loaf, doesn't matter anymore. You don't need to work. Just let the government pay for it all. That's going to run out sooner or later, but that's what we want right now. And the reason people don't care about this way is because they ain't going nowhere. Who cares about a way if you're not trying to travel?
Right.
Who cares? If I don't want to go to the point, who cares what way it takes to get there? If I don't want to go down to McDonald's, who cares about the way to get there?
Right.
They just do whatever they want to do. You got another way to find out that about people? Go ask them, "What are you living for? Why are you alive?" And most of the time, you know what they're going to tell you? "I don't know. I don't know." Because if they tell you the truth, the first thought's going to be, "Well, I know I live for beer." And they're going to think, "That's pretty stupid to tell somebody that."
Right.
So I'm just going to say, "I don't know." The other guy will say, "I live for work." Because if he'll be honest, he'll realize that all he does is go to work, come home, sleep, get up, go to work again. And he's getting the money just to keep doing that. Because
yeah.
He can't do nothing else. Because what happened in this age? We said, "Who cares about saving? Let's just get what we want and pay for it later." Before you know it, you have to work 50 hours a week just to stay above flow because you're so far in debt.
Right.
That's Laodicea. Don't you love having our own choices? We're stupid. We mess it all up. We get out of the way. But see, if you'll take your thoughts, take your motives, your agenda, your ways, and go ahead and chuck it in the trash can where it belongs, that's about as good as it's going to be, and get in the way.
Amen.
Things will go right. Things will go the way they're supposed to go. You go, well, I have trials, brother. Sure you will. But I sure like going through trials with Christ than going through trials anyways, because you're going to suffer. You're going to go through trials. You're going to go through hardships whether you got Christ or not. But I sure like to have him with me instead of doing it all by myself.
Amen.
Some people think, well, if we really suffer, we must be real Christians. There's people that are suffering like you can't imagine. And what do? They shake their fists at God and say, it's your fault, God. And guess what? They'll go to hell just like anybody else.
Right.
Because they're not Christians. You're not a Christian because you suffer. You're a Christian if you suffer for Christ.
Right.
But not just because you're suffering. That doesn't mean you're in the way. Another thing is people have a destination. So they don't care about this way. They've got their own way.
Right.
I want to be a multi-million dollar whatever. Which means I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time to care about anybody else but me. Because I have to engulf my life in this one goal that I have. I wish Christians get the same revelation one time. I don't got time to think of this thing in the world. I don't even got time to give work any more thought than what I have to. Because I've got one goal, one agenda, and that's going to heaven.
Amen.
That's it. The kingdom of God. Which the kingdom of God is starting now. Amen. Down here. Because the kingdom of God is within us.
Yes, it is.
It is not a place. It is a person. Heaven is a person. And if you're in the person, you're in heavenly places.
Amen.
He is the way.
Yes, he is.
Felt like I had something else I was going to say and I ain't remember it now. But that's okay. We'll come to it later. 1 John. 1 John. Not St. John. 1 John. Right there before Revelation. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, starting at verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself.
Oh, that's good. Amen.
Did you catch that? He that believes on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. What does that mean? It means you believe on him and you've received him.
Amen.
And he's in you. So you have the witness in yourself.
Amen.
You go, can I be saved and not know it? Sure. But if you've got the Holy Ghost, you're saved and now you have the witness.
Amen.
The evidence. The down payment. Hey, look, I've got my salvation right here. God gave me the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I have the witness in myself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record. Why did God give his Son? This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the tree of life. Verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Well, there you go. There ain't no gray area no more.
Amen.
You either have the Son of God in your heart, in your life, or you don't. If you do, you have eternal life. If you don't, you don't.
Right.
Now, John wasn't writing this to scare the church. He was just telling them the facts. Because verse 13 says it right here. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. So he was writing this to the believers to let them know, look, you have eternal life.
Sure.
And I'm writing this for a reason, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. What a revelation that would be for the church if we knew that we already had eternal life. Your stress would leave.
Amen.
If you could think, what if I die in the morning? What if I have a heart attack? You go, praise God, I've got eternal life. I can't die.
Amen.
Oh, but this body, who cares about this body? This is your worst enemy.
Uh-huh.
I'm ready to get out of this thing. I'm ready to get my glorified body that only has right thoughts, only has right motives, only does what God wants to do, only does what I on the inside really want to do.
Amen.
I want to be out of this body. That you may know that you have eternal life, and then you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him. Do you have confidence in what Christ has done?
Amen.
Christ, or confidence in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us.
Yes, he does.
Again, another revelation. I wish I could just get people to grasp it and go apply it to something. You say, I believe I got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. What does that mean?
Yes.
It means you have eternal life. You're on the right path. Ask what you will, and he'll give it to you. And we don't even ask. We think, well, God must not care about this. This is a little too little. Too little? Okay, that's what will happen. God or the devil will tell you all this stuff's too little. And then you'll come over here and go, well, that's a little too big. And what do you think? Is there anything in between those? No, the devil will keep pushing it until they're right next to each other. And you ain't going to pray for nothing.
Right.
Because all this is too small. All this is too big. There ain't no good middle area. God don't want you to ask for just little things or small things or
Amen.
Big things.
Amen.
He wants you to ask for whatever you want.
Amen.
Saying, I ain't happy today, God. I want to be happy. How do you get happiness? Get in the way, which is Christ. Verse 15. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So there's a way to know that God hears you and that you already have it.
Yeah.
It's called faith. Faith is a real substance. We can read that in Hebrews chapter 11. Faith tells me that I have something. It is a substance. Do you believe you have a piece of paper right now, John? Yes, why? Because it's a substance. Do you believe you have one now? No, because you don't have a substance. But faith is something where it ain't, you know, most people think faith is just like, well, I just have faith, it's just going to work out. No, you don't. You got hope. Maybe it'll work out. Faith says, no, this is the way it's going to be. Because God's Word already says this. I believe it, and I've applied it to my life. Just like my wife and I don't know why I keep bringing this up. She was supposed to have the baby 2 months ago. I said, no. Faith took an anchor and said, this is not what's going to happen. I could have said, well, you know, I hope. Oh, everybody, let's all gather together. Let's all fast and pray. That's hope. Faith says, I believe it. It's going to happen.
Amen.
Now, if you don't have faith, that's the time you get down and start fasting and praying. Because you ain't got no faith yet. We need to be honest with ourselves. Going, I'm going to ask for this big thing, but I don't really think I'm going to get it. Then don't waste your time.
Right.
You're a double-minded man. You're making God a liar. Because he said, whatever you ask, I'll give it. You said, well, I asked and it didn't happen. Well, there's two conclusions. One is God lied. Two is you ain't got faith. I'm going to pick that one. Because God don't lie. Okay? I've had people tell me that. Well, I saw God when I was yada, 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 and he never talked to me. Again, here's my two conclusions. The Bible said he would talk to you. He would talk to a contrite spirit, an honest heart that would come to him. He would no wise cast down.
That's right.
And you said God didn't talk to you? Okay. Well, I got two choices again. Either God lied in his word, or you really didn't seek him. You really didn't care. You were just trying to get benefits.
Right.
Isn't that what we do to God? He's a little air boy. I'm sick, God. Give me my healing. That's fine. If you love him, he said, let me get my healing so I can go testify to the world that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
That's a different story. But if you just want your healing just so you can feel good and go do whatever you were doing in the world anyway, chances are it ain't going to happen because you ain't got faith yet.
Right.
That's unbelief. Getting a little off track here, but that's all right. We'll bring it back here in a second. Letting off the pressure, 62. Anybody want to let off the pressure a little bit?
Sure.
We got a little pressurized in this world, don't we? It's just always on every direction. If it ain't your wife, it's your kids. If it ain't your kids, it's your job. If it ain't your job, it's your stomach because you're hungry. And if it ain't your stomach because you're hungry, it's your stomach because you're sick because you ate too much.
Uh-huh.
If you ain't constipated, you got diarrhea. You know, it's whatever. That's the age we live in right now. Everything's falling apart. But praise God, there's a reason it's falling apart so that we can fall apart and Christ can rule.
Amen.
Letting off the pressure. 62. The poet said, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild seas no more. The tempest may sweep over the wind, wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe evermore. The waves can beat and baffle and sickness can come, death can come, anything else, but you're safe and evermore. Christ, our refuge. God's provided place of safety. Christ is the only place of safety for those who want to live. Did you hear that?
Amen.
How many want to live?
Amen.
Jason, you want to live? I sold the nod. Every man does. Even the sinner wants to live. You say, how do you prove that? How do you prove that? How come when you get sick, it says you go to the doctor? If you don't want to live, I'll just let it kill you. That's like when people think they should suffer for the name of God. You know, oh, I got this sickness and I'm bearing it for Christ. Why'd you go to the doctor last week?
Right.
Why are you resisting the will of God? You know, if you're supposed to be sick, we'll take it. No, it's because we all want to be well. We all want to live. We want to be happy. We want to be joyous. There's a condition in your body that you know you're supposed to be in, and when anything shifts it off, you want to get back.
Amen.
What do you think that is? That's the groaning on the inside. That's the way trying to push you into that realm that you're supposed to live in.
Amen.
A place where there ain't no sickness. You think any sickness ever got to heaven yet?
Nope.
It gets cut off right there by the blood of Christ. Never makes it. Think any sadness ever got there? Any fear? No. It gets stopped. Because Christ paid the price. Christ is the only place for safety for those who want to live. He's the only one that has eternal life. And that, I just thinking of this. Let me think. Coming back to the way a little bit. You guys, it's a foolish example, but I'm going to bring it out anyhow. There was somebody who called a radio station one time. Talking about those deer crossing signs. I mean, anybody ever seen that? I know some of you have. Deer crossing signs. And this lady calls saying, why are these deer crossing signs in these high traffic areas? Saying, why are we telling the deer to cross where all the cars are coming? And the guy, obviously on the radio station, was laughing, trying not to laugh, going, you know that the signs are there because that's where the deer cross. And this woman didn't get that. She thought that the sign came first, and then the deer started crossing. She didn't realize that the deer were crossing, and that's why they put the sign there. And what we think of the way to eternal life, isn't that the way a lot of churches do it? They think, oh, if we put the sign here that Christ is here, then Christ will just start coming because he comes where the sign is. No. You find where Christ is, then put the sign up.
Right, amen.
You know where Christ is? He's in the Word. He ain't in this church building just because we made something. That don't mean squat. Christ is the Word, and if the Word becomes flesh in us, like it's supposed to, then he can put the sign up. I'm a Christian. You want Christ? He's right here. He's in me. I don't need to come take you to some church. I don't need you to call the pastor. I don't need you to do this, that, or the other. You can come right to me, and I can show you him.
Amen.
I can show you the way. I can put the sign where it belongs, and that's in the Word of God.
Amen.
Continuing that quote, letting off the pressure. There's no church, no denomination, no president, no king, no pope, no bishop, no minister, no nothing can give you safety but Jesus Christ. Then that just pretty much kicked us all out.
Yeah.
You're not the way to eternal life. Christ is.
Amen.
He's the only place that can give you safety. And he's God's provided safety. Oh, we can provide this and we can provide that. It'll fall. But when God provides anything, it's eternal. And what does eternal mean? It never started, never ends, never needs improvement, never needs change. It was perfect.
Amen.
Always. Because it never even had to come to being. It always was. And this way has always existed. And it's always God's provided way. And that's God's provided way for our safety in Christ.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 12. Out of verse 31. 1 Corinthians 12, 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. So even the gifts of the Spirit, we praise God for that, speaking in tongues, interpretation, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, and all these others, the words of knowledge, the words of wisdom. Those are all great things, and we appreciate the Spirit of God doing that. But look, the Spirit of God could do that in your life, and you come up to the judgment, and he goes, I never knew you.
Amen.
Because that's not the way, that's just a pretty good way. Do you like how Jesus said that? He didn't say, I am a pretty good way. I am a great way. He said, I am the way. And definite article means, this is it. There is no other way to go. I am the way. And that's why Paul is saying, those are great ways. But I'm going to show you the more excellent way. Verse 1 of chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and have not charity, which is love, which is God, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gifts of prophecy, and understand all mysteries, isn't that the message people write there? And all knowledge. And though I could have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Nothing without Christ. And 3, this throws out most of the denominations right here. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Without Christ, you've lost it all. You say, what about these people? They're good people, and I ain't saying they ain't. They probably do more alms deeds and things than I do. Catholic Church gives out more money than all of us ever made, ever. Times 100,000.
Sure.
They give it out. They get it. They feed the poor. But what's it for? Is it to establish themselves, or is it because they love? Do they love God, or do they love themselves and they want to feel good about it? Why do you think every rich company gives out all kinds of money? Because actually, one thing, it's the law of God. If you give, you'll receive. And they've realized that. If they give out some money, they'll get blessed back for it. And you will. People like buying things from people that you know are nice. If you know a company don't never do anything for nobody, you don't want to give me your money.
Right.
But if you know, oh, they give money to so-and-so, well, okay, I'll go spend some money there. But that's not what Paul's saying here. He said, you could do that. That's good. That's fine. You can give your body to be burned. But if you don't have charity, if you don't have divine love, it means nothing. Because God doesn't really care so much what we do. He cares why we do it.
Right. Amen.
Does that make sense? You could pray for 2 hours, and it don't mean nothing to God if you're doing it just to feel spiritual. But if you're doing it because you love Him and you actually want to spend 2 hours with Him, if you want to pray 2 hours just to be religious and 5 minutes because you love Him, He'd take the 5 minutes over the 2 hours any day.
Yeah, He would.
Because it's a relationship between us and Him. He's supposed to be our way. We're supposed to be one with Him. He's saying, brothers, is love really God? Is charity really God? Yes, it is. It's in 1 John. I just want to prove this before you think I'm going on a tangent or something. 1 John chapter 4. Going a little slower than normal, but hope you're still enjoying it. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And charity is love. So God is love. Jump down to 16. He even comes back around and says it again. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Love is God. Real love. Because try to really describe love in words. You can't quite do it. You can say, well, it's having affection one for another. Well, that's pretty good. But what's divine love? Divine love goes beyond anything we could ever comprehend. Divine love says, I could stab Kyle in the back and he would turn around and still give me $50 if I asked for it. I mean, physically. I could just go over there and shh. Divine love said, that doesn't matter at all. I have unmerited favor for you. And why is it so hard for a human to grasp that? Because that goes completely contrary to our nature. Oh man, buddy. You come against me, woo, you're done. Even more so, you come against my children. Oh man, you better be ready. I'm coming. We wonder why God lets us go through things. Because His love is so beyond what you can comprehend. It's so far above the reaches of the human mind. You have to accept it by faith. You have to. Or you'll never get there. You'll never be in the right way. How many want eternal life this morning?
Amen.
Amen. What was the Holy Ghost given for? What is eternal life? The Holy Spirit, eternal life. Take that word and run it in the Greek. It is called Zoe. Zoe is the Holy Spirit. All that the Father has given me will come. And all that come to me, I will give Him the Holy Ghost. Isn't that awesome? People say, well, I've been seeking the Holy Ghost for 20 years. God ain't never given it to me yet. That ain't what He just said. Anybody that'll come to me, Christ said, if you'll come to me, I will give you waters of life freely.
Freely, amen.
And the spiritual water is the Holy Ghost. And He said, I will give it to you freely. So you ain't come in faith yet if you ain't got the Holy Ghost. Continue to read here. And I'll raise Him up in the last day. I will do it, He said. No, not no ifs and ands about it. I will. I will raise Him up in the last day. So we can get the revelation that, hey, I've got the Holy Ghost. I've been sealed into the kingdom. That means I will raise. I'm in the way. I'm in the life. And I'll give eternal life. He will have to raise because He's got eternal life. He has to come. Can't die no more than God could die.
Amen.
If you get the revelation of that one of these days, you can't die if you're in Christ any more than God could die. Anybody think God could die and just stop existing one day? He's always existed. It's never going to happen. And if you're in Him, you're the same.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you, blessed.
Oh, my dear friends from around this country and this little city, if I could only with my human voice place into your heart the importance of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it would be the most wonderful revelation that you ever had in your life to see what. You must do it. You must have this revelation that Christ did not only die for you, but he died so that he could come in you.
Amen.
And live his life out of you. That you could automatically become the way because you are in him. God's provided a place of worship. This can be maybe one of my last quotes here, but I'm going to do a little different here in a minute. We haven't joined nothing or bargained for nothing. We just believed, Lord, unto eternal life. And you sealed us in there by the baptism of the Holy Ghost and quickened our bodies and quickened our spirits and quickened us then to see visions and prophecy and speak in tongues, see great signs and wonders take place. See, that's the order you're supposed to do as a Christian. You're supposed to come. We're all sinners. That's what's so great about the kingdom of God is you can trace anybody who's received the Holy Ghost and at one day they were a sinner.
Sure.
There was no one born holy. Mm-hmm. We all have a testimony. If you come out of the world, it's not time to, oh, I'm going to go get the gifts of the Spirit and then I'll get saved. Yeah. That'll leave me. No. Get saved first. Get cleared up first. Get your heart right so there's no false motives coming into all this stuff. A lot of preachers, I believe, ain't born again because of their motives. It doesn't make sense to me. If you're preaching because you want the glory amongst the people, how did you get converted? How can you get converted if you want the glory? Anybody that's converted gives the glory to one name. That's Christ.
Amen.
It's Jesus Christ. Anybody that's really converted never takes no credit. Even if God uses you for something, you know you didn't even get the faith by yourself. He gave you the faith to do it.
Amen.
So there's no, we got nothing to glory about. But a man is supposed to get converted first. He's supposed to receive the Holy Ghost. And then once you receive the Holy Ghost, then God can start quickening these things to you. He can start letting, we know that predestinated seed, get life first and then put water on it. It doesn't make sense to put water if there's no seed there.
Right.
I can pour all the water I want on this dirt. It ain't going to do nothing. I can pour water right here on this carpet. Nothing's going to grow. But give me a seed that's got life in it one time, and the water will bring forth life.
Amen.
And it's the same with the Christians. We need to be quickened into a new experience first. Get in the way, and then let God do the fine-tuning.
Right.
Don't try to do the fine-tuning. You're heading the wrong direction.
Right.
Continue to read here. Why? It's the living God. We're into that body. When to the world it's foolishness to them that perish. But to we who believe, it's the power of God unto salvation.
Yes. Amen.
You don't think somebody, an atheist, walk in there, sit right back there and look in here and go, look at those bunch of foolish idiots believing in some God. I don't see nothing happening in there. But to us that are Christians, we know what's going on. We're freedom from the word of life. Jesus was the same way. We tend to think, oh, Jesus, he was so, well, oh. No, what Jesus preached said you couldn't even hear him out in the streets.
Uh-huh.
And one time, what did it say? He said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. He quoted a scripture back in Isaiah, and he was standing there fulfilling the scripture that all these people were looking for to happen. And it was so humble, they completely missed it.
Amen.
Because all he did was speak it. He said, to preach the gospel. To bind up the brokenhearted and to set the captive free. And his word was enough to set people free.
Right.
Say, prove that to me. Remember the centurion one time? He said, my servants lay sick at home. He said, but if you just speak the word, he'll be well. He said, I've never seen no faith like this. He says, go, your servant's well.
Right.
That's all it took. It took. And that's all it takes for a real Christian. Yeah. We don't got to do this. Oh, we're going to have a good service today. Let's really get her pumped up, Dad. Come on. Get the beat going. That'll get the Holy Ghost moving. No, faith gets the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
People that believe what God has said, that's how you feel his presence come down.
Because
you believe that I'm not here in Defiance, Ohio. I'm in a realm of perfect faith.
Amen.
I'm in the realm where Christ is here.
Yes.
Where the way is here to take me from where I am to where I need to be.
Jesus Christ.
I'm not here trying to get myself there. I'm yielding to the way which will drive me the right way.
Amen.
Now this way ain't popular. That's another thing we tend to think. Well, who wouldn't want to see the miraculous? The devils hate it. And the people possessed by them will hate it even if it does happen. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead in front of all of them. 4 days a man was dead. He raised him out of a tomb. He was already decaying. He came out handled. He was still tied up. Could you picture that for a minute? We put him in the ground. And just before we put the dirt on top, we let it sit there for 4 days. And Jesus, we walk by there and we say, hey guys, come check this out. Get out of that. And he starts knocking on the inside of the casket. That's what happened that day.
Right.
And you think, how could you doubt that?
Uh-huh.
How? How could you not know this is the Son of God? How could you not know this is a Son of God?
Right.
Revealing the Son of God. Because we know, how could you raise a dead man? The apostles raised dead people. We've seen dead raised in our lifetimes.
Right.
Dead people raised. He's the same God yesterday, today, forever. And we think, oh, that'll convince them. No, it won't. What'll convince them is Christ on the inside of them.
Amen.
Calling. Because Jesus said it, no man can come to me. No man can come to this way unless it was given of my Father. Means predestinated. Means if you can believe, though, if we just get that. Why can you believe? It proves you're predestinated.
Amen.
Because you can't make yourself believe. Faith isn't something you work up. It's something you have.
Amen.
It's a substance. This way is not popular. Remember the Apostle Paul? Apostle Paul hated this way for a while. And we could read out. Actually, let's just read that. I'm about wrapped up here. You guys are doing really good today. Acts chapter 9. At this time, he was called Saul. Wasn't converted yet. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way. Did you catch that?
Yep.
If I find anybody of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. This way has never been popular. This was just started. Jesus had just raised from the dead shortly before this. And here comes a man who actually would later get converted, praise God. But at this time, he was breathing out threatenings, saying, you keep preaching that Jesus stuff, I'm going to kill you. And he desired for the high priest, the religious people, to give me papers, give me authority to go stomp them all out.
Right.
And that's what he did. He went to go do that. We thank God because as he was journeying, we know that Christ met him and converted him. And we thank God for that. This way has never been popular, but I tell you what, it has benefits. Just coming out of Y63, I want to say this real quick. God's real true way of living has never been popular. It never will be popular. For the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to them that perish. Let's turn to Acts 24. It's not popular because they don't see it. They don't get it. Think it's meaningless. Paul here. I want to backdrop this a little bit ago. And back in Acts chapter 9, Paul, who was still called Saul, wasn't converted yet. And his whole motive in life was to destroy anybody in the way of Christianity. Anybody who was in Christ, he wanted them dead. And then we come later, after his conversion, after he's preached all over the world, and now the hatred turned around and came against him anyways. That's to show, it don't matter who you are, they're going to hate you if you're in the way.
Amen.
If you're walking with Christ, the world will not like you. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter how many good things you do for them, they still want you dead because it's not them, it's the devil behind them motivating them. And the devil wants you dead. Do you want to know why the devil wants you dead? Because at one time, the devil was God's right-hand man. The Bible says. He was right there. Anything God wanted, he told. His name was Lucifer at the time, the angel of the morning, and he would go do it. He had powerful, he was beautiful, he had harps, he could sing. Then he got lifted up in pride and says, I want to be up on the throne. This is pretty, the next seat down, he couldn't take it from God. He wanted to be on the throne. And what did Christ say? As I've sat down on my Father's throne, so shall you sit on my throne. The position that Satan has always wanted, we get it free.
Amen.
Why do you think he hates you? Just be that one, right? You got the one guy that worked his whole life, worked hard. And here comes this other guy. Just because of who he is,
uh-huh.
He gets set free.
Right.
And our carnal nature, where do you think you got that from, old devil? Wants to rise up and say, I deserve this. We don't deserve squat from God. Lucifer didn't deserve anything from God either because how did he get here? God created him. What did God deserve to give to Lucifer? Nothing. Everything he had was by grace anyhow. Well, as I don't know how I got on that, but we're going to bring it back to Paul here. As it came back around to Paul, Paul is now before the witnesses, before all these people that he's done good for. And they want him dead now. Paul, or Acts 24:10. I'll get it here one of these days. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, "For as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself. Because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogue, nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me." So what is Paul saying? Look, I didn't do any of this. I am innocent. He said, "But I understand you still want me dead." But verse 14, I love this. "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way, which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the laws and in the prophets." Why did they hate him? Because he was in the way.
Amen.
And what will the way be called by the world? Heresy. You know what heresy means? Devil's religion. The way of truth has always been called evil by Satan's children. Because it looks stupid. It looks foolish. Look at the gods of the ancient times. Do you think anybody said they loved Zeus? "Oh yeah, I love Zeus." And here's the Jews saying, "We love Jehovah. We love him. We have a relationship." No, Zeus was the god, and you were his little trample, whatever he wanted to do with you. That's what happened. You feared him. You sacrificed your children so that you might get favor with him, just so you can get a blessing and you can live another day.
Right.
But the real God was a God of love. The devil don't understand that, because he doesn't have our position. He's not a son of God. But you're his son. Did you catch that? You're his son. You're in a love relationship with him. And to the world, that doesn't make sense. It would just be like, you would watch me, you know, be hand and foot for my wife. And you go, "Why would you do that? You ain't getting none out of it." You know, I would say that's truth. I'm not benefiting from doing that. But she's my wife. I love her. I would do anything to take care of her. How much more God? If he looked down and saw us the way we really were. We were always his sons. And if he saw your son in a cage, tortured, would say it's on fire, and you could do anything about it, would you give everything you could to help him? Of course you would. Why do you think it was so easy for God to become flesh and come down here and die? He did it willingly. He didn't need nobody's help, didn't need nobody's encouragement. He was going to do it.
Amen.
Because he cared that much about us.
Yes.
This way ain't popular, but I tell you what, if Christ would go through so much, he must have that much waiting on us.
Uh-huh.
That much blessings. Praise God. The way they call heresy, it's never going to be popular. But now let's bring it down to us. You say, "Brother Andrew, that's pretty good." Say, "I believe that, and I praise God you do believe it, because I believe you wouldn't be here if you didn't believe that." But God didn't tell us just to get converted and then sit around and do nothing. That's what a lot of Christians want to do. "Well, I'm saved now. Guess we're done." That ain't what the gospel's all about. You go, how did you hear the gospel? You heard it from somebody before you. Well, how'd they hear it? Somebody before them. And you can trail all the way down. Who was the first one to hear the gospels? Those that heard Christ. And it went to the apostles and it spread that way. Then why would that ever stop? If you're in the way, it'll automatically make you become the way for others. Because you are becoming the way because you're becoming Christ. I feel like I might be saying that over your head a little bit. But if he's the way, if he's the way to eternal life, and that way comes into me, I can now present the way to others to where that life can go into them, and now they become the way.
Amen.
Because you preach the word. You preach what God has said. You don't say your own thoughts. You don't say your own ways. And go ahead and try to go those ways for a little while. Tell me if you're ever happy. You never will be. Because the path of life is straight and narrow. It's this way. And even when you're converted, you're heading the right way, but you might do this. And guess what? You'll reap for doing that. But God in his mercy will bring you back to the way. And you'll go this way. It's just like driving a car. At least we're heading the right direction. But I tell you what, every time it goes off a little bit when you move your hands. Cars are made to go straight, but if you move your hands just a little bit, it'll send it off. And it'll promise we put our hands on the wheel. Take your hands off the wheel, let Christ drive the car, and it won't need no correction.
Amen.
It'll go the right way all the time. But it's our responsibility to be the way now. Which means go tell people what God has done. Don't sit around and say, well, God, you know, if you really want me to witness, you would do this, this, and this. And when you really break it down, you go, he's already done that, that, and that.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't he? Has he blessed you more than you've ever deserved?
Sure.
Yeah, I lived today. That was more than I deserved. Because I was a wretch too. And on this scripture, Romans 10, 14. Actually, let's read 13 down to 15. Let's read 13 down to 15. Romans 10. This will be my last scripture today. Romans 10, 13 and 15. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And what's the name of the Lord? The Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon his name shall be saved. And a lot of people stop right there. Because they go, well, I called on Jesus one time. I must be saved. Let's keep reading. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So you might be able to say his name, but if you don't believe him, you don't have faith in him, it means nothing to you. Now look at this. This is where we come into the picture now. And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? Now a lot of people have heard the name of Jesus Christ, but they never heard he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. They never heard he still raises the dead. They think, oh, that was 2,000 years ago. That was good. But you're here to tell them, look, no. No, the Son of God, he's still here. He's in me. And he does the same works he's always done. I'm here to declare him unto you. How can they believe unless we show them? Unless we say something about it? And look, we've been given the greatest message ever strike the world. And what are we doing with it? Do we tell anybody about the great things God has done? Or do we just, well, you know, if it was really ordained, this and this and this would happen. Why don't you go spread something that God has done then?
Amen.
Anything. Pick it. Go tell somebody about it. Continuing in that verse, and how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Which means it ain't just the Holy Ghost. He's going to use you.
Yes.
And me. And all of us. Verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel, peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. What should we should be, well, you know, this Christian walk, I tell you what, because nobody likes you. The devil's always on me. Nobody wants that kind of religion. They want, yeah, the devil's on me all the time, but I don't never let him take me down because I got the hidden man in the heart. I got Christ. I'm in the way. I'm going to go to heaven.
Amen.
You see, oh, somebody come up and say, I lost my grandma. Go, I lost mine too, but I'm going to see her again. I didn't really lose her. I'm just taking a little vacation. I'll get back to her in a little while. See, that's good news. Good tidings. That's preaching the gospel. And that's how we should be the way. Let's go ahead and stand together. He shall be called the way. The way isn't a place. It's not a thing. It's not a roadmap. It is Jesus Christ. As we bow our heads. Again, this is evaluation for our hearts. Evaluate your own heart. So every head bowed, every heart closed. Open unto God now. Saying, God, I've gone the wrong ways. I'm not in the way like I need to be. Or maybe you're not even on the way yet. You haven't been converted yet. I pray that you'd raise your hand to the Lord Jesus. There ain't nobody looking. It's between us as individuals and Him. And I believe if you can raise your hand by faith, you defy all gravity when you do that, God will answer your prayer and come down. And even those of us that are in the way, you say, well, I've tried to feed on this thing, which is another way. It's taking me a direction I'm not satisfied. And I want all that gone. I want all these things of bondage out of my life. I want to stay right on the right way. And that's with Christ. Let's raise our hands to Him and ask Him to forgive us. And just to keep us on that way. I'm going to lead in prayer, but you can pray any way you desire. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for showing us the truth of your word. That we wouldn't have to look for another way. We have the way within us, Father. And we want to go home. We want to see those heavenly mansions, Father. And we know the only way we'll ever get there is to be on the right way. And we thank you, Lord, that you are that way. Lord, that even the Father and you are the same. We don't have to go find you and then find the Father. You and the Father are one. And we're so grateful to know that. that if you're in us, Lord, we've already seen the Father because he lives within us. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you. Lord, I commit these people into your hands. Lord, bring us where we ought to be. Lord, I'm sure there's many things in our hearts that we might not even know about, Lord. But as real Christians, we don't want no evil within us. We don't want nothing that'll take us out of the way in any way, shape, or form. Lord, let the Holy Ghost clear all out of us. Let that heavenly fire, Lord, that heavenly fire come down and just burn out all the dross in our lives. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you, Lord. We want to worship you with all our hearts. Help us, Father, to be real Christians. Commit ourselves to you and the words that were spoken. Lord, I pray if there was anything I even said wrong, you just come and correct it in the hearts of the people. They wouldn't hear it the wrong way. They'd hear it the way you wanted it said. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for taking care of us. In Jesus Christ's name, we ask these things. Amen. If you need prayer this morning, I can pray with you. If you have any needs, you know, the way he told us that we could ask whatever we wanted, and he'd give it to us, so I sure appreciate that. I'm going to let Dad go ahead and pick some songs. Here, I don't have anything on my heart.
The love of God,
27.
Is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell.
Thank you, Jesus.
It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
The guilty pair bow down with care.
Thank you, Jesus.
God gave his Son to win.
Thank you for coming, Lord Jesus.
His erring child he reconciled.
Oh, you believe it this morning.
And pardon from.
He freely forgave us
from his sin.
That love of God, it's so pure.
Oh, love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless.
Yes, Lord, thank you, Jesus.
And strong, it shall fall.
Eternal.
The saints and it.